Hello and welcome back to the Cine Club podcast. I'm Billy.
I'm Matthew.
I'm Reese.
I'm Dion.
In this episode, we're taking a bit of a break from our usual style. We're going to be talking about some films that are so bad they're good, or in a few cases, flat out terrible.
That's right. We've selected a handful of tough watches and guilty pleasures to talk about today, beginning with horror. There's as many bad horror films as Freddy Krueger has one-liners or camp counsellors Jason Voorhees has killed. But we landed on Jason X from 2001 and A Nightmare on Elm Street from 2010. What do you guys think? Enjoyable or outright awful?
One of them's kind of fun to watch, Jason X.
Yes.
I say that, I didn't finish it.
Oh,
I got halfway through and I was like, I can't put up with any more of this.
What do you mean?
It was the best one there. You're missing out on so much.
It's probably the only one I kind of like. And that's even just because of how just stupidly dumb it is.
Yeah. It takes its concept and knows what it is.
What I do like about it is it does sort of take, doesn't take itself seriously. Like the guy who's like, it's Jason Voorhees, he's killed around 200 people. He's one of the most dangerous men ever. However, you can make a good bit of bob if you sell him. And the guy's like, oh yes, I'm going to make loads of money.
Also, that was David Cronenberg.
At
the start.
Oh, I didn't even realise that.
The scientist at the start was David Cronenberg.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
That's cool.
What I quite liked was the fact that was the one-liners in it as well. So it's like the sergeant or whoever it is, Jason stabs him from behind. He's like, it's going to take more than that to kill me. And then he stabs him again through the other side and he's like, that'll do it.
Yeah, yeah. And he still wasn't dead. I like that bit about it. I like, it's self-aware at times. You know the pilot guy? He has that one line joke where he's like, oh, I'm so lonely. That was really self-aware and like, kind of like, it was like a parody, essentially.
Yeah, it feels like a parody of itself and it doesn't take itself too seriously. No. And that's kind of why I liked it. Because when I've watched a few other ones in the lead up to watching Jason X and the originals take themselves really seriously. So I've only seen 1-4. So going straight from the final chapter into Jason X, it's like the biggest clash of tones and everything. It was so weird.
I would say, as it being the final Friday the 13th film, which isn't the reboot, I think it's the most fun because it's pretty much jumping the shark literally, and I think it being in space is the most funniest thing about
else you can take it after space.
I think it's got the record for the furthest a franchise has reached ever. Like everything else, even like Nightmare on Elm Street, to my awareness, it doesn't go that far. It doesn't take Freddy to space. But Jason, like, oh, New York, hell, space. The one place that hasn't been corrupted by Friday the 13th.
They're all being in the board meeting, they're all off the mind on whatever, and they're going, what do we do next? Just take them to space, who knows? That'll be fun.
It's Jesus brilliant as well. Christ. One of my favourite parts in the whole film, you won't have seen this bit, because you've only seen half of it. It's near the end of the film. I know you probably don't care about spoilers here, but near the end of the film, the big ship's blown up and everyone's escaped on this little tiny ship, and Jason's on board the big ship fighting with the sergeant guy as it blows up, and everyone's like, oh thank god we're fine, and they're like, wait, there's a blip on the radar, it's Jason, he's been propelled by the momentum of this massive ship explosion directly towards them like a homing missile with his machete still out ready to cut through the hull of the ship and get them.
It's so stupid but it's so entertaining.
It's the end of the film as well when they're crashing down under Earth.
Yeah, where he's wrestling with the sergeant as he's basically a shooting star, flying down under Earth too. And then you see the couple and it's like, oh look, there's a shooting star. Oh, it's crashing in the lake. He's back in another sodden lake.
Oh my god!
But he's on a different planet now.
Exactly, it's Earth 2, Crystal Lake 2. They were 100% going to make another one if that didn't bomb as much as it did.
Honestly, I wouldn't mind another one because when was this before Freddy vs Jason or after?
It was 2001, this one.
I think before.
Yeah, it'll have been before.
So I would think that's how he gets to Jason.
Yeah.
Freddy vs. Jason, that's another guilty pleasure film where it's pretty terrible, but it's fun.
It does take a bit for the Freddy vs. Jason thing to happen, but like even then.
They do sort of just dick around for most of the film, and then you finally get to the end and the star fight.
Yeah.
But I think, to be honest, out with the 5 or 6 I've watched now with the Friday the 13th, that's probably my favourite one just because it's got Robert Englund lifting it up.
Yeah.
So I think Jason's very boring as a slasher.
Oh yeah, he just like kind of stands there. His like whole acting thing is like a big block of a
like,
man.
But like even the standing thing, I think Michael Myers does that better.
Yeah. Jason's got like more animation too, and though like he really breathes with his whole body, the actor does. Because the actor's the same guy who was in all of them past, I think it's part 5.
Ken Hodder.
Yeah, that's his name,
Kane Hodder, sorry.
Mm-hmm.
And then he was, they got rid of him for Freddy versus Jason.
He's really good though. Well, as good as you can be as Jason.
Yeah.
Wow, you did a great job standing there menacingly.
Like,
yeah, I liked it. I mean, that film.
Speaking of Freddy versus Jason.
Oh, God.
Yeah, and actor replacements.
Very smooth transition. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Actor replacements going from the lovely Robert Englund to whatever Jackie Earle Haley was trying to do.
What was he trying to do?
He was trying to do Rorschach again.
I think he was good as Freddy more than people make it out to me. I think he's great.
He was terrible.
You didn't know about England, but I thought he was alright.
It's that is Freddy himself isn't good. It's not very well written.
Oh, Freddy's health, no, but yeah, like,
he's not funny. No. He's just edgy.
That's why I like Freddy, because he comes up with one-liners and stupid.
He cracks one joke throughout the whole film, and even then, that doesn't even make me laugh.
Like, what you've just said, I've not seen much of the Nightmare on Elm Street films, but I've seen one clip where Freddy Krueger is disguised as Dick Cavett.
Yeah.
And I just saw the clip, and I was like, I don't know how I haven't seen them.
It's great, but then you go to this remake, and it's just edgy for the sake of it, but like I think Dion mentioned did you mention the Friday the 13th remake, because like all of them were by the
same,
it was like a Michael Bay's production company.
It was
production company or something.
They
did both for the remakes, and they're both terrible. Yeah.
It somehow looks worse than Jason X. And that was like a student film.
I think for me the opening of the film's really good, then it just, even then, the really good stuff is just fine at best, but then they just
Nightmare on Elm Street.
I think the opening's pretty alright.
I wouldn't even say there is any really good stuff.
I think it was they proposed something interesting when they tried to make, when like there was you had the plant of that seed where it's like, oh, was Freddy actually innocent? Maybe he didn't kill these kids, and he actually did care for them, and he was just in the wrong place at the wrong.
Then he's got a claw arm.
Yeah, but then they go back on that later, and then not only did he do this to the kid, he's actually a molester as well.
Yeah.
Like, he wasn't even. They never said that about Robin.
To be honest, Wes Craven wanted that originally, by what I heard, but it does seem very much like, oh, let's do that just because it's Wes Craven.
It's shock value.
Yeah.
Like, you can sense it in the originals, because like he gets a bit touchy-feely with his victims at times, but like it's not outright like, oh, by the way, Fred Krueger, he was a gardener in a nursery, and he had like a weird dungeon under the nursery where he used to take all the kids.
Yeah.
It's like, that's what on earth?
You can laugh along with Freddy Krueger in the originals because he's like a funny like cartoon man essentially, but that man's a paedophile. Like,
literally,
you can't laugh anymore.
Yeah, it's not a good time.
It misses the whole reason the franchise was so successful in the first place.
Yeah. It's like if Harvey Weinstein started doing like stand up comedy, you are not laughing at that man, even if he is funny.
I think just the fact that they did loads of the original film beat for beat as well, but without practical effects. They replaced it with CGI. The scene when he's coming out the wall, and it's not like a practical effect, it's just a CGI thing moving. It's stupid, it's crap.
Yeah.
Why would you do it?
I think I mess up the blow up doll more than, you know, the end where he kills the mother.
Oh yeah,
I missed the blow up doll, because at least that was
charming.
Goofy.
Yeah, it was goofy and it was charming, where he's just like, basically at the end of the original Elm Street, there's like the mother's waving at the door, and then it's like a fake out like to shock you one last time, so that his hand breaks through the door and he grabs her, but the mom turns into, for the effect, she's a blow up doll, and it's really obvious. So like she just goes through the thing all limp and
was that sort of where
the
ending of this one, where he gets her through the mirror.
Yeah.
I call bullshit on the ending, by the way. The ending terrible.
Well, I'd seen this years ago, and I remember the ending. I remember being a paedophile. I remember the bit where he's like, and I'm like, what the fuck? What's the ending again?
Is it a dream or not? Very similar.
Yeah.
I think there was another alternate ending they did. I don't remember it, but I remember people saying it was a bit better. But I remember
hearing there were different endings. Yeah.
It was the same. It was the same with the original as well, though, because that had multiple endings shot. But like, it just doesn't work. It's not one of these films that's so bad it's good, like Jason X. It's just bad.
It's just terrible.
Like, yeah. Even down to his design, they try to make it more like an actual burn victim, mm-hmm. but he looks terrible.
He looks like he can't move his face, doesn't he? Yeah,
well, when you go in the, when you look at the behind the scenes things, it wasn't even fully practical either, because he has big chunks on his face. That's green screen. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh. And it's like big green, and then obviously he's just doing Rorschach's voice again. Yeah.
He just looks like an alien.
He looks like an alien.
Jackie Earle Haley's a good actor from what I've seen him in. But in this, it was clearly, they'd seen him the year before in whatever the fuck Watchmen was. Yeah. And they were like, just do that again, but with a big claw on your hand.
I don't understand why they even went in that direction, though. Is it just pure edge factor?
Edge, yeah. It was when you had the edgy horror films, because you had Texas Chainsaw and Halloween and stuff. Yeah, the Rob Zombie Halloween.
Jeez, they're worse.
That could even be a topic for a whole for like a whole episode.
What, Rob Zombie's just the terrible horror remakes.
Mm.
Oh yeah, we should do that. Yeah. Note it down, someone.
So moving on to a blend of horror and comedy. I love this next film, which shows Troma's iconic Toxic Avenger series. Did you like them, or was Toxic a bit too much for you? So I wanted to, before, because we almost had an argument on the bus on the way up here. I think Billy agrees with me on this. The first one, I love it. The second one, I also love the second one.
Yeah, good.
You both like the second one.
Yeah, it's good.
The second one's a laugh.
Man.
Let's start on the first one first.
Okay,
let's do the first one.
I like it. It's got charm. It's got character.
Yeah.
It doesn't overdo it.
He's wearing a tutu. He gets chucked out of a window into toxic sludge and basically ignites on fire while his flesh melts.
He doesn't eat someone's gun, though.
Reese, the film starts with someone's head getting run over, a kid's head getting run over with a tire.
Yeah.
But like, the cartoonishness is still like reined in a tiny, tiny bit.
The whole film
is like that guy who drives the car. What's he called? Like Dud or something? Spud. Spud. Aye. What's he called? Dud.
He got
him.
The dud.
He's just like, I'm stressed. I'm stressed. And like he's one step away from the edge. The second film, he goes over the edge, and it's just mental.
It's just so funny.
It's a great time.
He just gets on a raft, goes to Japan to find his dad.
Find dad, Big Mac.
Yeah, Big Mac, and he fights a man who's got a fish for a head.
Yeah.
What the hell is this?
I didn't notice this until the other day. There's a funny, I think, I don't know if it's intentional, but I really hope it is. Do you know his girlfriend?
Yeah.
Her actress and the character's name changes in every film.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
I think the only one that she carries on through is 2 and 3, because that was meant to be one long film.
Oh, was it?
But, yeah, but 3 is awful.
3 is really bad.
And then both me and Matthew had to turn 4 off because it was that bad.
4
that
is actually
I just know about James Gunn's stuff about 4.
James Gunn's in it as like a Mickey take of Stephen Hawking.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
And then he gets run over.
When was 4 made?
2002, I think.
In 2002, they were still doing that. Like,
it's years and years after the makeup's all different. It's a different actor. And
he looks normal in the fourth one.
It sort of incorporates all the other Trauma characters as well. So you've got Sergeant
Bukuman, NYPD.
What is
2002 was too late for them to be doing that.
It really was.
Like, that was acceptable in the '80s, as the song goes. But that is another thing that got us about the second one. The amount of like the first one had edgy humor. It did, right?
Yeah, it had edgy humor, but also had some like genuinely like quite funny jokes.
Yeah, like the girlfriend, I can't even remember her name because the second one confused me what her name is. And the first one, she's like...
Blind woman.
She's a sympathetic character, right?
Yeah.
But in the second one, she's like that bit in The Croods where they're using the puppet and Grug grabs the sticks. And, and like, she's just flailing her arms about and like, she can't see, obviously. But the make...
She's just completely ditzy. She's always wearing lingerie and she's just bumbling all over the shop. Yeah.
She was insufferable.
Is the second one where he's trying to cure her blindness? Or is that the third one?
That's got to be the third one. Second one's just going to Japan.
Yeah, I think that must be the third one.
I think it is.
I'm honestly interested to watch these, but I haven't had time because I don't want to watch it when my family comes in.
Don't watch it with your family. I closed the door several times watching these films.
I almost put it on with my dad and I was like... I watched the trailer, and the trailer on Amazon Prime makes it look like a horror film. I was like, let's make this. The first 10 minutes of the first one is like when it starts off with all the men in the gym, and it's like obviously taking the mick out of them, and then there's quite a few stereotypes about gay men. And I was watching it thinking, right, where's this going then?
Uh-huh.
And I was like, I paused it, and I was like, I'm going to have to go upstairs and watch this.
Yeah.
I already know something's going to go down.
you were very lucky for that. I think if it's catching it before it gets too far. Yeah.
It is funny though.
It's a funny film because it lives in that like edginess of its humor. Does. Like the two gay men who wear nothing but thongs, like they find they're believable in that cartoon world. But then in the second one, that first fight scene goes on for way too long.
What's the first fight?
That's great though.
The first fight scene when the building blows up and there's like a little,
oh my god, it's unbelievable.
He crushes like a short person into a basketball.
That's it's so good. It just went on for too long.
Also, what's his face in it? There's some like famous actor. Like one of his very first films was in the second one. He's like the kung fu guy.
I can't remember.
Oh, I'm gonna have to try and find it later.
Yeah, but I remember. I saw
Toxic Avenger 2 kickstarting career since whenever it came out.
Well, did not end
career.
It
kickstarted James
Gunn's
career.
Ended career as well.
Yeah. Probably did. Yeah, but yeah, the second one's great. I genuinely prefer the second one.
Oh, have we, man?
I actually do.
It's that first fight scene. I couldn't get over it. It's just it just
turned 10 minutes.
10 minutes, and then beating these guys out one by one. I like the bit where they do the line dance. That
I like
funny.
That. It's really it's just like a proper rule. It's like, you know that bit with like the thing with Daffy Duck where it's like 88 teeth.
Yeah, it's like that.
And there was just loads of random people showing up. Like there was a fellow with like a dog or a horse face or something.
He shows up in the next one.
Does he actually? Cigar face is back as well.
Nothing.
He should have died.
Who's Cigarface?
Cigarface. You don't remember Cigarface from the first
shouting
one?
At me?
No. So the film shouts at you. It's terrible.
They don't explain anything. That's why I like it.
I like that bit, but it's just the fact that they just keep coming out the car. That was funny. The clown car base. Yeah. That was good. But it just goes on for way too long. If he beats them all a bit quicker, he just hurried up with it. But he like spends a minute on each one of them going, and he's going,
I really thought you'd love the second one.
Oh, it was too much.
The villains are called Apocalypse Inc.
Oh, that's funny.
Apocalypse Inc.
Apocalypse Inc. are funny. That's a funny little title. But.
Well, the third one brings them all back as well, but they just reuse scenes from the last film as well.
That's terrible.
So it's like, I was just, when I was watching it, I was like, skip forward 10 seconds, skip forward, like, and just trying to get past these scenes. Like, I've just seen this yesterday.
That is abysmal. That.
You know what's funny that we're talking about this, and a remake is coming out in August.
Oh, yes, the new one.
I can't
Peter
wait.
Dinklage.
But he's not called Melvin Junko in the new one. He's got like a normal name.
He's Dave. I don't think it's a normal name. He's like something Goose.
Never mind that.
Goose.
Take that back immediately.
How are they
going
to do that?
Goose or something.
Oh no, he's called Herman.
Okay, that's okay.
And Kevin Bacon's the villain.
Okay, that's good.
Right, and isn't Jacob Tremblay in it too? Like,
I have no idea.
Is this such a weird cast?
Yeah, it is. It is like a bit of a hodgepodge, but
it's going to be great, and we're all going to see it.
It exists in this like time period though of being in the past.
Absolutely.
We're like, oh my god, wow, you can make that now. Or like,
yeah,
like making that now, what's it going to be? There's going to be nothing left.
I guess we'll just have to find out.
It's going to work.
Moving on into full-on comedy, we picked a couple films from our childhood that may or may not have stood the test of time.
Give us strength.
the live-action Cat in the Hat and Robert Rodriguez's bizarre Sharkboy and Lavagirl. So what's everyone's opinions of that?
Both dreadful.
What do you mean?
Emily just puts it on for you every time.
Yeah, Sharkboy and Lavagirl's quality?
What are you talking about?
No, Sharkboy and Lavagirl's not any
good.
It's
great.
Not!
They're both
it's
as
brilliant.
Bad as each other.
They're both
lazy CGI dog pal
and
crap.
To be fair, Cat in the Hat's got about 3 funny jokes that I laughed at.
Even then, when she bought it.
That one's funny. I like that.
Even then, the best joke out of the whole movie is legitimately just might be Michael Myers. Mike Myers.
Yeah, you know Michael Myers. He shows up at the house instead of the cat, and he's like,
he's dead.
Because his tail
off. Oh my god, the kids in that film. There's not a single likable character in Cat in the Hat. Not even the cat. If that cat came into my house,
not even thing
one. We're going to have fun. Get out.
Not even thing one.
What?
Not even thing one.
Can't think of one funny character. One fun character.
Oh,
what are you looking at that for?
Thing one.
Thing one.
Mr. Hummerfloop. I take it all back. Mr. Hummerfloop is really funny.
Who's Mr. Hummerfloop?
The boss.
He's the boss.
The one who legitimately is just a walking sex joke.
He's got a bottle.
Oh, he does. Yeah.
Bring a bottle.
Bring a bottle.
Bring a bottle.
bring a bottle of Hummerfloop sanitizer.
Yeah, he's funny. Okay.
But, he's good.
But it's a film that's burned into my brain now. Because I've told you before, obviously not on the podcast, but I've told these before. It was a DVD, like I just had it in my TV, and I never took it out. So like I would wake up at 6 o'clock in the morning, no one was awake, So I was like, oh, I'll put something on the telly. But my satellite didn't work on the telly and I didn't want to swap the DVD by getting out of bed. So I was like, oh, I guess I'm watching Cat in the Hat again.
This was last week, yeah?
Yeah, this was last week.
Still doing this.
But it's just, I didn't even have to rewatch it for this episode. It's just burnt into my brain.
I remember most of it. I had to rewatch it because I haven't seen it in years.
I remember most of it because I think, funny enough, this film I watched a lot as a kid and I still remember it. And I watched a compilation of it with some mates a few days ago before we even planned this. And when watching it, I still remembered every scene. And you know what? I regret it because it's such a terrible film.
Oh, it's not terrible though.
It's bad, but it's not terrible. Mm-hmm. It's one of those ones that's so bad.
It's Nightmare on Elm Street is terrible. Like, it's good, terrible. Like,
I didn't even have fun watching it.
I was waiting for it to end.
It's like a post-ironic masterpiece,
it's
though.
It's really not. Like, it's absolute dog shit.
It's got some strange relevance now.
We're going to be sentenced.
Tickets to Universal Studios.
Cha-ching.
That's good. And he's riding like an old granny down a slide promoting tickets to Universal.
It's great. It's brilliant. The bakery bit as well. That bit's got some relevance now, actually. The bit where he's like on the cooking show.
That bit's funny.
Because my eyes went on SNL recently. Andy was doing an impression of Elon Musk. Yeah. And for that impression, he just does the cat with the blonde wig. That's what he does. The dance. I'm so excited. And like the overacting, he does that.
That's one of my favorite scenes. I like the bit where he's a Rastafarian.
I don't like the term dog.
I like the term canine American.
Alec Baldwin's got one funny line in that film, and it's are you one of them dirty hippies? I think that's quite funny, actually.
How much is that canine American in the window?
It's great. It's brilliant. It's brilliant.
I think I've gave it 1.5 stars, but I still love it.
You got to give it 5. It's like,
it's not 5 stars.
Oh, Howie. It's funny.
I can enjoy it for what it is, but it's not a good film.
Yeah. I feel like The Cat in the Hat does this thing though where it doesn't get tiring after a bit. Like Toxic Avenger got tiring after a bit.
I don't know.
But The Cat in the Hat doesn't.
I think it gets really tiring. I wanted them put down.
Oh, bloody hell, Matthew.
He's horrible.
I'll get you when they look like an accent.
Well, were you happy when he left?
I was very happy when he left.
And then he came back later.
Like, he cleans the house. Yeah. That's polite.
That's what it's about, though. It's about politeness. No, genuinely,
it's based on
a very, very tame Dr. Seuss book where this cat causes a tiny bit of mischief and like cleans it up with his little inventions.
Can you make that into a full-length film?
Exactly. Use the camera.
This film's the whole reason why they're not allowed to make live action Dr. Seuss films anymore because the estate's sort of like, this is terrible, don't do this ever again.
There's an untapped gold mine.
They're making a new animated one though with Bill Hader's Cat in the Hat.
It's not going to have the charm though, is it? It's going to be more.
Well, it's Bill Hader though. But
it's just going to be compared to this, because like, it's the same way Shrek's been embedded into meme culture.
Yeah,
this film's been embedded into meme culture, and everything's going to be compared to
it. It's like the Grinch as well.
Yeah,
the Grinch has had the exact same thing happen with Benedict Cumberbatch, where it's not as interesting.
And the guac is extra.
Yeah, and surgery and all the stupid shit that's come out of that.
Right. So we should probably talk a little bit about Sharkboy and Lavagirl as well, since we've been talking about Cat in the Hat a lot.
Yeah. I'd watched it years ago.
Yeah.
Like, but I don't ever remember watching the whole film as a kid. I've got vague memories of watching the whole. I remember Mr. Electric. I remember
that's so good, man.
Like,
It's not good, but
you can't say this is bad and then say Cat in the Hat is good.
I know you said Cat in the Hat's a 5-star film.
You said Cat in the Hat's better than the Toxic Avenger.
I'm not entertained by Sharkboy and Lavagirl.
How are you not entertained?
There's only one good line out of the whole movie, and that's just the whole take this kid to the principal's office and stuff like that. It's so good, man.
It's really bizarre.
Childhood favourite.
That's why though.
That and like Spy Kids. I appreciate the vision of the director because they're the same guy. Spy Kids and Sharkboy and Lavagirl.
Funny that Robert Rodriguez has done Spy Kids and this, but then he's also done shit like Machete.
Yeah.
Machete. I'm sure it's meant to be a spin-off of Spy Kids.
It is.
I really appreciate his vision. Like, he saw this CGI, this terrible CGI in the 2000s or whenever it was, and thought, I can make a full-on world, this wonderful, whimsical childhood world out of this.
Yeah.
And he spat out Sharkboy and Lavagirl.
It's a beautiful film.
The bit at the very start when it's Sharkboy, who's got the fucking maddest haircut ever, by the way, explaining his origin, and the shark gets out and starts talking to him.
That's great!
The shark's like, nice. I was like,
What? When he starts singing that dream song, trying to get that banger, get that on my Spotify.
What's with that? They push it so much throughout that film. It's like three times.
Close your eyes, shut your dream. It's so good, man. Get that. That's gonna be my top stream song this year.
I like the Cat in the Hat because it's funny. I can laugh at it still. I can't laugh at Chopper. Like Chopper and Lava goes funny because oh Harry, look at that thing.
I do think Cat in the Hat's a bit better.
Exactly.
No. It's like a bit of plastic in a heap of shit.
Yeah.
They're both atrocious. Uh-huh. I hate them both.
To be honest, I think I'm the only one who has not watched it as a kid. I think I really didn't like Sharkboy and Lavagirl.
What?
It's not for me, and also it's just too silly for its own good.
Yeah.
Isn't that goofy shit?
Its whole joke is, oh, look at this thing we're watching with our kids, isn't it kind of crap now, right? But you can't watch that for an hour and a half.
Yeah, you can.
Do that to your heart's content. Burn it into your TV screen for all I care. But just don't enforce it on me.
Billy's final film next year is going to be Sharkboy and Lavagirl.
I would put it on a series.
Five times. Yeah. Throughout the rest of this year. Five times. I guarantee you.
What?
Watch it now. Five times throughout the rest of this year. Exactly. You will not go crazy.
Well, you got about a week.
Once a month.
Yeah, there's a week until 2026, guys.
Oh, I mean, it's the end of the year.
It's just 2026. Christmas. I can't believe it.
But yeah, Sharkboy and Lavagirl. Wait, did they do a sequel?
Yeah, they did. It came out on Netflix. I'll admit that's terrible.
Why did they do that? I don't get it. Is it because of the meme thing?
It's probably because of the meme. Like Taylor Lautner didn't even come back as Sharkboy, so they just had a fella in a helmet.
I think it was Zachary Levi, wasn't it?
I don't think so.
But my god, I thought
he was in Spike.
They got the person back for Lavagirl. I can't remember her actress's name.
That's the only thing she's been in since, I think.
Taylor Lautner's had a bad deck of cards. He's been in this and Twilight.
He went from this to Twilight, though. Is that not impressive?
No, it's not.
Like, that's more.
He hates his career that much. He wouldn't want to do that to himself.
He went from dressing up as a shark to being like everyone's werewolf dream in like.
Everyone's.
I was like four years old in Twilight.
We swore too much. And we're not getting sexual jokes. Come on, Reese.
But yeah, these guys don't like Sharkboy and Lavagirl. You should watch it because it's good.
Tell us what you think. Email CineClubSpark. Yeah. We'll tell you at the end what it actually is because I don't know.
Show up to the studio, get on the microphone and say, I love Sharkboy and Lavagirl.
Give everyone here a DVD copy of Sharkboy from Poundland.
You've been hoodwinked. You're in the pocket of Robert Rodriguez.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm not because I really think everything else he's made is terrible.
What, even Machete?
Yeah.
Machete's great.
I don't like Spy Kids.
Right, Machete.
Spy Kids is the same film, though. This is the same shit.
Mariachi
is good. Heroes, though.
You're making these films up.
No, no.
Machete and Mariachi.
I think these are all
like on the back of like a regular show.
I tell a lie. I like the one episode of The Mandalorian he did with Boba Fett.
Did he do a film with Quentin Tarantino?
The first Boba Fett one.
He did that.
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, yeah,
didn't he do a film with Quentin Tarantino with zombies?
I don't know.
Oh,
did he direct from Dusk Till Dawn?
Is that the one where it's the cops in the small town?
And he also did Elite Battle Angel, which was really good.
Anyway, we're getting a bit off track, but this is wrap us up. Yeah, we'll start to wrap it up.
Mm-hmm.
I think Sharkboy and Lavagirl is great. I think Cat in the Hat is enjoyable for what it is.
I was thinking very quickly, what we're talking about, just very quickly.
Yeah,
what was the best?
Yeah, let's rank them.
Yeah, okay. So I think we should probably rank this selection of bizarre, terrible, good, whatever films from worst to best. So for me, I think looking at it, original Toxic Avenger at the top, then Sharkboy and Lavagirl, then Toxic Avenger 2, then Cat in the Hat, then Jason X, then Cat in the Hat, then A Nightmare on Elm Street.
Okay, that's so a that valid worst? Ranking,
yeah.
I suppose.
Oh, thank God, I'm sad.
Yeah. Toxic Avenger last.
I would genuinely say Toxic Avenger 2, Toxic Avenger.
Oh, you can't
see this. What else do we talk about?
Jason X, Friday the 13th, Cat in the Hat.
I can't believe Cat in the Hat that high. Jason X, from what I've seen, Sharkboy and Lavagirl, and then Nightmare on Elm Street. I think that's everything.
Okay, that's okay. For me, it's a tie between Toxic Avenger and Jason X at the top, and then we have Cat in the Hat.
That's crazy how that's the high bar.
And then we have Sharkboy, no. Ooh, this is tough. It's either
Sharkboy or not.
This is not close between Sharkboy and Lava Girl and Elm Street.
Elm Street is last, right? Yeah. Because yeah. that is just unremarkable and terrible. And then between Sharkboy, I think I'd go with Tox 2 just over Sharkboy and Lava Girl. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, really. But, oh, I don't know. I didn't finish Tox 2, though. It was that bad. I had to turn it off. So Sharkboy and Lava Girl goes higher.
Certainly. Get in! I'm going to bite you when we leave you.
Right, I've not seen the Toxie films, but if I have...
I think you're on the wrong episode, dear.
Yeah.
I've seen none of these films.
No. I think the best film I've seen is Jason X.
Then the best film ever.
Ever, yeah.
I never cared for the Godfather.
Sharkboy and Lava Girl and Nightmare on Elm Street.
Okay.
Right, yeah. Okay. That's just
That's okay. We've all agreed that Nightmare on Elm Street is the worst one then. Never do that again.
That's the takeaway for this episode then. Nightmare on Elm Street remake is absolute garbage.
Yes.
Pure I think that's cheeks. All the general garbage and delicious mm-hmm. garbage that we have time for mm-hmm. in this episode. Now we pose the question to you. What is your guilty pleasure film? It doesn't have to be one that we've mentioned here, but maybe it is. Either way, get in touch with us at cineclub.podcast@sparksunderland.com.
And make sure to check out our socials at @thecineclubpodcast_spark on Instagram, @the.cineclub.podcast on TikTok, or The Cineclub Podcast on Facebook. They're all good ways to keep up to date on the latest podcast developments.
As always, this episode was recorded and produced by us, the Sunderland University students, as well as being edited by Emily Main. A special thanks goes out to Steve Cannon, Barbara Sadler and Richard Berry. A reminder that our legitimate film students this week have been me, Matthew,
me, Reese,
me, Billy,
and me, Dion.
This has been a Cineclub production for Spark. Thanks for listening.